Thank you for joining us today for another podcast from Flushing Community Church. We are real people seeking to understand the truth revealed in God's Word. You can join us every Sunday at our place of gathering in Flushing, Michigan. Find out more by visiting flushingcommunity.org.
Well, I just have to ask this morning, who got everything they wanted? Anybody? Oh, wow. That's a pretty impressive Christmas, right? Compared to what I saw in the shopping stores, the malls and such, I think everybody probably did. Now, how many of you have something to return today or tomorrow? Anybody? Come on now. How many of you are wearing something that you unwrapped this morning? Anybody? Sutton announced to me today she's wearing absolutely everything brand new. She's completely remade, so that's wonderful. Kids, I want to hear from you. What was your favorite thing about this morning? Anybody? Yell it out. Does someone have a favorite from this morning? A favorite gift they received? Or the favorite thing? I know Blake's favorite thing was that he got to call his mom to see if it was okay to come out of his room at 4:20 in the morning. I'm glad you're a coal. You haven't opened yet? Oh, strangers, the anticipation is too much. Get on with the service already. Come on. How awesome is that? Did you at least have breakfast? Well, I would choose your fajita breakfast, too. All right. Bob's like, leftovers? All right. Anybody, a child, I need some. What's your favorite thing? Someone yell it out. Come on. A sewing machine. That's got some sewing to do. You got a sewing machine? Yeah. Heavy duty. Black and Decker kind of sewing machine? Husqvarna. Nice. I've never even known how to say that word. Thank you for pronouncing that. Come on, who wants to share? Nobody got a pony, Steve. All the dentists in the house would like to know that I got an electric toothbrush. That'd be kind of nice. Everyone happy about that? Yes. A book about me from Santa. Yeah? Well, yeah, not about me, because that would be absolutely boring and an incredible twist of horrible fortune. That's really pretty. Does it have pictures? Oh, yeah. That's going to be really special. Anyone else? Come on. Just shout it out. Favorite thing. You got an Xbox? Nice. Have you already hooked it up and played some games? Yeah. That's why you were calling your mom at 4:20. Anyone else? Anyone get like an HD television or anything real fun? I have no idea if anyone had. Just guess. No? I know Debbie got her boys home. That was precious. She said they don't cook, but I did see them at Kroger, so that's a sign that at least they shop. All right. Well, apparently you got all that you wanted, but you're just too humble to share. And I appreciate that about you. That's really wonderful. Kids, I really do hope that it's been a special morning for you. And I hope that you've also had the opportunity to enjoy giving. You know, as a parent, there's nothing more special than the opportunity to give on this day. It's always awkward when we have to receive, but it's so much fun to give. And then they turn into teenagers, and you're like, why do I give these kids anything, right? But, no, I'm just kidding. We're really glad that you've chosen to make this a part of your day. I hope that you received a bulletin on your way in today. I just want to kind of acknowledge that, because inside the bulletin is an insert that you can follow along with some of the notes. When I created this insert, I kind of created it in the mindset that we'd be using it both evenings. Or both services, last night and tonight, so there's some interesting there from last night. And I thought it'd be kind of good just to kind of capture a little bit of what we talked about last night, because it really helps think about what we're here to do today. Last night we spent some time being very clear about the purpose of this day, about the purpose of Christmas, and that the purpose of Christmas was to allow the Messiah of the world, Jesus Christ, to come and to seek and to save what was lost. And we talked about what was lost really being you and me, that Jesus came for us. His sole purpose in being here and being born was to come and live among us, to teach us, to love us, and to be with us, and to save us. We talked about that Jesus was really and is only the true only source of salvation. There are a lot of other religions. There are a lot of other faiths. And I can say this, and hope this doesn't sound like I'm talking out of both ends here, but I respect those of other faith decisions, but I am passionately convinced to the utter essence of who I am that they're following something that's false. And so that Jesus is the only true path to salvation. There are no others. Now, I understand that other people are as equally convinced that I'm wrong in what I said there. I'm just telling you my personal conviction. There's a lot of false things that we chase, a lot of things that we go after that are not of any kind of validity. Jesus Christ came, and he was a game changer. He was the game changer. And so we put our faith and our trust in him alone as the only source of our salvation. And I use this little series of phrases to kind of help articulate this, that is the power of Christ. He could have just simply appeared because he had that power within him. But the plan was that he would be born, that he would go through every part of the process of being human and live with us. So he could have appeared, but he was born. He could have ruled because, again, that was his right. That was his privilege. He could have grabbed the scepter and he could have stand in front of all of mankind and been our king right then and there. He had every right to do that. But instead, he chose to serve. And more importantly, he chose to love. And you know what? He could have looked at us and he could have condemned us because we were guilty. We were filled with sin. But instead, he chose to save us. He chose to offer the gift of salvation. And so our gifts that we give today, the gifts that we receive on this special holiday, are all in a reaction to the greatest gift we've ever had the opportunity to unwrap, the gift of salvation. And I think that's so important for us to remember again today. But I have this lingering question as I wanted to share some thoughts with us today. What if Jesus would have been born in 2011? What if in the grand scheme of plan of things, the plan would have been to allow Jesus the Messiah to be born on this day, in our day and age, in our culture? How would it have looked like? How would it have unfolded? I mean, the idea kind of came into my mind several weeks ago, and I've just been thinking about this and just wondering, because there was really no way to know, right? But I've just been wondering, what would it have been like if this would have been the day? So instead of waiting for 400 or 500 years for Messiah, we would have been waiting, 2,500 years. What would have transpired in the times from the prophets until now? It's a big question I don't know the answer to. Who would have played the role of the wise men? Who would have been looking and searching for with such passion that they would be willing to give up everything that they've known and search for this king of a land of which they don't reside? Who would have been the people who would have been so aware of the changes of the sky to recognize a signaled change and follow a star? Who would have been those people? Who would have been the people the angels chose to announce the arrival of Christ? Who would have played the role of the shepherds? Who would have been the people that the angels knew that if we go to them, they're going to get it and they're going to go worship him and they're going to be able to find him? Who would be those people today? Who would be the parents? Who would God choose to care for his son while he was flesh and blood? Who would God choose to offer Jesus a Band-Aid? Who would make sure that he was cared for at all times? Who would be found to be righteous enough to have this amazing honor bestowed upon them? Who would be faithful enough to travel and to do everything according to God's will? Who would be attuned enough to listen for God's voice even in their own dreams? Who would God choose today? Who would be so consumed by the thought of Jesus coming today that they would do everything in their power to stop it? Who would be the Herod of our present day story? Who would be the one who would say, "No, not on my watch. I'll make sure the Messiah doesn't show up"? Who would do everything that they could to quiet the voice of Christ, like the religious leaders did in his day? Who would be the faithful few who had already previously been rejected by the religious leaders of their day, were back into their normal mode of operation of fishing and working and collecting taxes. Who would be the people of our day, our normal businessmen, our normal workers, guys on the line maybe at GM? Who would be the people that Jesus would say, I want you to have a front row seat? Who would be called out and who would say, yes, I'll come and I'll follow you? Who would be willing to leave it all, throw down their tools, throw down their nets, and follow after this strange rabbi, this carpenter who thinks he's the Son of God? Who would be willing to do that? It's hard to imagine a story taking place like that in our day and age. It just seems more fitting that it happened in ancient times where things were simpler. We can just kind of read the story and feel much more comfortable. But all of a sudden, when we put it in our day and age, if it happened today, where would we be? What role would we play? See, I'm afraid that what I would be is one of the people in the scriptures that's not even mentioned. A passerby, a crowd shouting, crucify. Convinced that what I'm doing is protecting my God, instead I was crucifying him. See, I'm just afraid that because sometimes we get so consumed by the things of this world and we get so consumed by the religions of this world, including Christianity, that oftentimes we miss the opportunity to be a part of his greater story. Does that make sense? I'm afraid I'd be one of the religious leaders who would say, no, that doesn't fit the God that I know. That doesn't fit in the box that I've created for God. No, we dismiss you. But I would really rather be a magi. I would really rather be a person who would say, I'll throw away 3 years of my life to travel. I'd rather be the person that says, yeah, I'll throw away 3 years of my income to make that trip happen and to bring gifts to this one newborn king. I wish that I would be one of those shepherds who would be able to see this amazing blinding light like I'm looking at today and say, oh my goodness, this is really happening. And not feel fear, but feel the warmth of God and go and find and worship. I wish that I could see myself in the story, but I'm really concerned that I could. You know, Christmas happens every time someone says yes to Jesus. Every time someone has their heart warmed to the Spirit of God working in them and they say yes, I want this. Yes, I believe. Yes, I need forgiveness. Whenever that happens, it's like Christmas all over again. Jesus dwells with mankind all over again. I was thinking of that, and my mind went to Galatians chapter 4. Again, I'm going to use, just like I did last night, the translation from Eugene Peterson in the Message paraphrase. But when the time arrived that was set by God the Father, God sent his Son, born among us of a woman, born under the conditions of the law, so that he might redeem those of us who have been kidnapped by the law. Thus, we have been set free to experience our rightful heritage. You can tell for sure that you are now fully adopted as his own children, because God sent his Spirit of his Son into our lives, crying out, Papa, Father. Doesn't that privilege of intimate conversation with God make it plain that you are not a slave, but a child? And if you are a child, you're also an heir with complete access to the inheritance. When I think about Christmas, I have to be reminded that it is God's Son who came. It is God's Son who has sent and said yes. But I also want to be reminded today, as we spend these few minutes together, that when we say yes to Jesus, when we say yes to his divine plan of salvation and all that he has to offer us, that we also kind of become his brothers. We also become his sisters. We also get access to the family inheritance. That's an amazing idea, that you and I would actually be adopted into the family of God. And that everything that Jesus has access to, he gives us access to. Everything he looks forward to, we get to look forward to. All the things he did, he said that we could do those as well. I just get amazed by that. Sometimes I believe as Christians, we walk around feeling like second-class citizens, especially in our day. In a day where our government has now said that no government official can send a Christmas card paid by taxpayer money that says Merry Christmas. That's our new governmental standard. You can no longer say Merry Christmas on your cards. When we think about how Christianity is being pushed aside on every corner, we just tend to want to fold our shoulders down, put our head toward the ground, and walk around. I read an interesting article several weeks ago now about Tim Tebow, who, quite honestly, by this point, I'm kind of sick of hearing about Tim Tebow, because it's just all I hear about. I want to hear about other sports when I turn on ESPN, but now I want to call it the Tim Tebow Network. And he's a quarterback for the Denver Broncos. He had an amazing college career. Nobody thought he could play in the NFL. And when he got a chance to start this year, all of a sudden he began to have great success. And everyone was questioning why. The thing about Tim Tebow that many of us know, but maybe you don't know, is that his faith kind of goes in front of him. He would be one person that says, I'm a Christian who has the opportunity to play NFL. Whereas some people would say, yeah, I'm an NFL player and I happen to be a Christian. Tim would say, no, I'm a believer in Jesus Christ and I get the opportunity to play in the NFL. His comes from a great family, missionaries, born on the mission field, has a heart for Jesus Christ unlike many I've ever seen. And his success in playing the game has been kind of like attributed to some kind of miracle of God. And I just want to go on record and saying, I don't think Jesus Christ gives a rip about who wins an NFL football game. I really don't. Both sides are praying to him. He's like, okay, who do I choose now, right? So we get all this. But the interesting part of the article that I read was that if Tim Tebow had been a Muslim and he would receive the same kind of criticism, holy wars would have started. That we treat, you know, the Muslim faith with a little bit of, you know, let's just be kind, you know, we'll understand. And I don't mean any disrespect to them at all. What I'm saying is this. Our own Christian faith is something that we allow other people to attack us for, and we just kind of do this. Yeah. We almost feel irrelevant. Ourselves, our faith, everything that Christ has to offer us, we just kind of shrink. I wish there were more people like Tim, quite honestly, who would not shrink from that kind of criticism. Because the word that Paul says here to the church in Galatians here is that we are no longer slaves, but we've been given the rightful inheritance. We can feel free to experience our rightful heritage. Friends, Jesus Christ was born today for you. This is true. Jesus Christ was born for you to be saved and allow your sins to be forgiven. That is true. Even historians who are atheists cannot deny that there was a man, Jesus, that he was also crucified. This is undeniable information. The question I have for you today is, will your faith allow you to see that he was, in fact, the Son of God? In fact, he fulfilled prophecies over centuries of time that are incalculable for any man to accomplish. The fact that Jesus is still alive in heaven, interceding for you and me, not condemning, but loving. The fact that because of that, we have access to the inheritance of God's entire kingdom. Why should we shrink? Why should our shoulders go down? Why should our head look to the ground? We should be standing strong today. Our Savior was born on this day. Our God sent His Son for you and for me to live again. Our eyes should look up. We should feel totally joyful as we've sung already this morning. Everything that God has done for us, every good gift that He wants to offer us, it comes because of Jesus and because we are now adopted into His family. This is powerful. The light that Jesus brings truly is salvation. But what comes with this salvation is also life to its fullest. Life to its fullest as adopted children of God. And when you're adopted into the family of God, you also get the security and the protection that comes with that. Now, I'll say this. How many of us get really tripped up when we realize that there are great Christian men and women who have horrible things happen to them? I get that. But see, when our eyes are on this world and everything that this world brings, it will trip us up. But guys, we got to look into our inheritance, and it's not in the U.S. dollar. It's not in land. It's not in grass. It's not in how big or small our homes are, how cool of a car we have. That's not the inheritance of God's kingdom. All of that stuff becomes stuff that God will grind into asphalt in heaven. It doesn't matter. That's the stuff we'll walk on and drive on because it pales in comparison to what our true inheritance will be for those who call out on this baby king born on Christmas morning. We should be beaming today because the God who is the one true God, who sent his only son to us, now gives us all the hope in the world. Everything we could ever imagine will be available to us. Darkness offers only confusion and fear, but the light that God offers is true life. Where would we be without God's Spirit guiding us? Where would we be without the light of the world who came this Christmas morning? We're going to sing another Christmas carol on our way home today, and I hope it's a carol that kind of resonates in your heart, that it kind of just continues to repeat in your mind and in your spirit. Hark the herald angel sings. It's an ancient song, but don't get tripped up by the words. Don't just allow the ancientness of the song to allow you to kind of go into a song coma. Pay attention to these lyrics. They are powerful stuff. God and sinners are reconciled. We should proclaim that from the tops of our lungs. Light and life to all he brings, risen with healing in his wings. Born that man may no more may die. Born to raise the sons of earth. Born to give them second birth. Today when we sing this song, as God's Spirit begins to just kind of mingle with you and work in your heart, I pray that you will adopt these words as your words today. That you'll sing them from your heart as a child of God, an adopted son, an adopted daughter of the risen King, who is looking at you and saying, come into the family, be a part, and let's be bold about it. Let's smile about it. Let's worship him about it. Let's be excited about it. Thank you, Jesus, for coming. Thank you, Jesus, for being a part of my life. Thank you, Jesus, for allowing me to intersect with you and for us to have great communication together, for us to live life together. I pray for this Christmas morning that it will be a morning where we all just sense your presence in such a fresh way. May we leave this place proclaiming your goodness, feeling as if we are truly adopted into your family. Just warm our hearts this day as we celebrate your arrival. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for spending these minutes with us at Flushing Community Church. If you would like to speak with someone regarding today's message, please contact our office at 810-732-0282 or visit flushingcommunity.org.